Turn with me, please, to the book of the Gospel of John. Let's listen to what God says to us through the book of John, chapter 17. In responding to some of the challenges facing the church in Tanzania or elsewhere, let's listen to what the Word of God says. In John chapter 17, a common text we all know, but let me read from verse 13 down to 26, and then I will explain a few things before we come into another section to pray and to thank the Lord. Verse 13, I'm using a New King James Version. "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for this alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be also one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be one, they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them." The best response to how to handle our challenges — there are so many challenges I have mentioned, poverty, I would suggest even prosperity is also a challenge, because, you know, as you prosper, the devil can use prosperity even to challenge your faith, and they become actually not doing anything that brings glory to him. So there are so many challenges from all different corners. But the best response comes from this text. The most comprehensive answer to this question is seen in this prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in this text. Our Lord prayed that the church should be marked by six marks. So may we see only six marks as so that we can employ these marks in dealing with our challenges in whatever circumstance or in any context. It is interesting that the first mark mentioned by our Lord is joy, in verse 13. Joy. Says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy." Joy. My friends, there is no virtue in the Christian life which is not made radiant with joy. There is no circumstance which is not illuminated with joy. Somebody said, I don't know whether you agree with him or her or not, that a joyless life is not a Christian life. Paul the Apostle, writing in his writings, contain many usage of the word joy. Writing to the Philippians as he was giving a final admonition to his friends, he wrote saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." So, joy should be evident even as we go through different or various challenges in life. Abraham, for example, was a joyous man. Even when he was going through that difficult time of trial, of sacrificing his only son, Isaac, as we read in Genesis 22. And yet, Abraham was joyous. He knew. That's why God, in all times, always, God does not put heavy burdens upon weak shoulders. He puts heavy burdens on shoulders which have gone through trials. And they have shoulders which have able to bear the challenges. God educates our faith, testing it by trials or challenges that increase little by little as our faith has increased. I would appeal to you, my friends, that we be willing to share our joy with those who are without joy. Elsewhere in the world, there are many people which to them joy is something like a vocabulary. They don't know what joy is in their life. So I would ask you, even myself, that we share our joy with those who are without it as a way of encouraging one another. That joy is a mark that we should be identified with. Second mark is that of holiness in verses 19, 17. Holiness. According to the Bible, again, holiness actually deals on God's level with transcendency. And on our level with the fundamental response to Him, which we would call commitment or dedication. Dedicated Christians know that each sin has its door of entrance, and therefore they keep that door closed. It is that radical denial of sin, like Joseph, that radical denial of sin. And if we wanted to practice, to pursue holiness, we needed to be ready to deny sin in all kinds, in any color. Like people who are wise, whenever they are tempted, they go through temptations, they make sure that they don't leave the door of entrance where sin comes through open. They make sure that it is locked. And like wise people also, whenever they run away from temptations, they never leave their address behind. Because if you leave your address behind to a temptation, be sure that it will caught you on the way before you get home. So they are also aware that once one sin masters in one's life, it will usually invite another onto the onslaught. So my friends, the true measure of our holiness always should be that we remain very faithful. The measure of holiness is what we do when no one but God alone is watching. So we need to be very captive to the voice of the Holy Spirit as He speaks to us. Every one of us is therefore called to be holy. Let not the challenges we face in our ministries negate our holiness before God. We are called to be joyous people, to be holy. As He is holy, we need to be holy. But thirdly, as a church, we are marked not only by joy and holiness, but thirdly, by the truth. Brothers and sisters, we are led to the truth, because Christian joy and holiness depend almost entirely on how we know God's word, on how well we know and practice the principles of God's written revelation. It is true that What God does in the world today, He does by the Holy Spirit through the instrumentality of His written word. And it is amazing that when we build our lives on the word of God, our words and deeds will reflect its beauty, its truth, and its power. So, hence let us all be captive to scriptures, believing that a Christian finds safety not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Believing that as Christians we are safe because we are in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christians find safety not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God. Such a truth really will keep on motivating us to face any challenge in life. This has been a challenge to my life also, at a personal level, as a family, as a husband, as a father, as a leader. I really depend, I turn to the word of God every time, every morning, and I get a lot. And from there, I am encouraged and built up. Our fourth mark in this world is being a missionary people. In verse 17, as we have read, verse 17 and verse 18 says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. In these verses we see that the church is not only to look inward and find joy, Christward and find holiness, to scriptures and find truth. It is also to look outward to the world and find there the object of its mission. We are called to go into the world, to the non-Christians, to befriend them and enter into their lives in such a way that we begin to infect them with the gospel rather than they are infecting us with their outlook. We thank God that salvation is free, but we have a responsibility as a church to help people, men and women, to see the truth. Salvation is free, but one must accept it. We have to help people, should help people not to spend a lot of money, a lot of resources, to be lost spiritually. We need to lead people to see the cross, the love of Christ. We need to be missionary people. We have to tell people to deal with sin before it deals with them into destruction. And I believe if the church is identified by this mark, penetrating again, percolating into the world with the gospel becomes very imperative and demanding. We need to look beyond the four walls of our buildings, through the windows. There, some people are dying in sin. We need to go and bring them. We thank God the way God has used you people in Europe to cross the borders, the oceans, and to come to stay with us. Some of us, we live in very poor house conditions, and yet, most of you, some of you have dared, through God's grace, to come and stay with us, to eat with us, to suffer with us, to fight mosquitoes with us. Now we are enjoying here, as I was sharing with my brothers and sisters here, that they have been asking us, how are you enjoying life? Your night here, we are finding it very enjoyable, because when I go to sleep under that warm blanket, I really enjoy my sleep. But at home, I keep fighting with the heat, mosquitoes here and there while you are supposed to be sleeping. And spreading the gospel is costly. We need to count the cost. And I thank God for you people that God has used you so mightily, and I will continue asking you to keep listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit as He calls you to come and stand with us. Our fifth mark is that of being a unified people. In verse 21, unity. What do we mean by unity in these verses? Here we are not talking about uniformity, that is making everyone alike. Nor does unity refer to strive for an identical pattern of appearance and the behavior of the members of the church, that all of us should appear in black jackets tonight. Uniformity. In yellow coverings, uniformity. Red shoes, uniformity. We are not talking about that. Nor does unity refer to strive for that identical kind of appearance. Our Lord Jesus Christ was talking about that. On the contrary, there should be diversity among Christians. Diversity of personality. Some are tall, some are short, some are tall upwards, some of us are tall downwards. We are not short, we are just tall downwards. Diversity in interest, lifestyle, even methods of Christian work and evangelism. That's what diversity is all about. Uniformity as usual is there. Like rows of white painted boxes. Variety is exciting, always. We see it in the variety of nature and the actions of God. The unit Jesus is talking about here is a unity analogous to the unity that exists in the Godhead. Paul makes a summary on this in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 to 6, where I've just jotted down here that now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. So we must unite if we want to face our challenges successively. We have a Swahili proverb which goes this way. I think it appears also in English. I don't know. Unit is power. Separation or individualism is weakness. So we need to come together, to parade together as we confront our common enemy. We need personnel in the area of education, as I've said, medical and training, our local church area. And that's where unity is very important. It's very imperative for us to have it. So I'm calling you, my friends, that we come together and we share together in the Lord's ministry in these all areas. But let me share lastly, though not the least, but the greatest mark of war is love. And this now winds up everything. With the same thought in mind, our Lord Jesus Christ, having spoken of joy, having spoken of holiness, truth, mission, and unity as essential marks of the church in his priestly prayer in this text, concluded with an emphasis on love. Love. If we do not love one another, how can we ever hope to love lost men and women in the world? It's impossible. Love is fundamental to the life of the church, if at all we want to respond diligently to the challenges facing us today. For example, subtract love from joy. Let's do a little mathematics here, or arithmetics. Subtract love from joy, you end up having hedonism, that pleasure without the satisfying joy found in the relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Subtract love from holiness, you find self-righteousness like that of the Pharisees of Christ's day. Subtract love from truth, you get a bitter orthodox. The kind of teaching which is right but it does not win anybody. Take love from mission. Be sure of having imperialism and possibly colonialism. Take love from unity. Soon you have tyranny in the church administration. No compassion for the congregation or that desire to involve them in the decision-making process. But when we express love, let me say it, when we express love, all the other marks of the church come, just to follow suit. Yes, as I know, compassion is that capacity of putting love into practice, into action. Such kind of act is the language that deaf can hear. Love into action. Person who is deaf can hear. If you put love in action, a blind can, it is a substance a blind can see and touch. So, love is very important. Without love, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, tongues are mere noise. Prophets, mysteries, knowledge and faith amount to nothing. Good deeds of any kind become unprofitable. It is only love that can handle any challenge. The various challenges we face can melt only in the presence of practical love. Love which is ready to listen, to feel a cry of somebody who is crying. I am reminded of a time when I feel something itching at my back. And if you have somebody who loves you, because something is itching on your back, if somebody loves you, your neighbor, you will ask her, could you just scratch me where it is itching? Because I'm trying to get to reach at that point, I'm unable because my thumb has come to the last of it. Could you scratch me where it is itching? Somebody who has love, practical love, will be ready to scratch you. And now, this is what happens. When he comes, you direct him. You have to be specific. You don't call somebody that, come and scratch me. Where? Here. Or here. You have to be specific. And that's why we are sharing these things. And that's why I'm sharing with you this a few items of prayer that I'm specific that we are suffering from poverty, from ignorance, illiteracy, famine. We share, you be specific. Just as it happens on my back one time, it was itching. Then I asked somebody to come and just, you get on it. But because fingers don't have eyes, it bypasses the point. It goes beyond the point where it is itching. Then you direct the person, you have just bypassed it by 2 inches. Could you move down, please? And he does so. But then since the fingers don't have eyes, he bypasses again only a centimeter, maybe whatever direction. Now if you are very careful, you direct him or her that, now move that half a centimeter towards London. And then you will get the point. And when he gets there, he scratches. And that's what God does. We need to manifest love to one another. That is the only way we can be able to face the various challenges that are facing us as a church. Dear friends, in facing these challenges as I finish, let us aim at finishing. Because success is not judged by what we start, but by what we finish. We have begun from far. As African Land Mission, in your case, it's 96 years. So we need to continue to finish till the Lord comes. Furthermore, as an end result, success is not anybody's monopoly. It awaits all who will work for it. And that's why we are sharing this. The challenge of life is not the ability to begin a program, but the grace to finish. I have learned that when things in life become overwhelmingly heavy, the solution is to fix our eyes of faith onto Jesus. Even when you fall down 10 times, the Lord Jesus will lift you up 10 times. In fact, your 10 failures can be overcome by a single victory. That's the goodness with our Lord Jesus Christ. I would ask you that we put our focus now on the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we put our focus on Christ, we will accomplish all these 6 marks. May I ask you a couple, just to stand up. And I want to ask them to come forth here. They will not say a word, so don't be scared. Conclude my message. Volunteer, please. A couple? Stand on the other side and one here. That way. Before God, we stand this way. And this happens right away from the Garden of Eden, after the fall. Before, they were together. After the fall, everyone accusing upon one another. Even I'm saying, it is you, God, who made the mistake. Because you brought me this lady. The one who was being accused was not Eve. It's God himself that the problem is you, God. It is because you created Eve to be my wife. So there has been diversity and separation, accusation, hatred. All kind of evil, you name it, from the garden after the fall. But Jesus Christ came, and it is through him that we come closer to one another. We grow, we cultivate holiness. All those six marks, joy, love. We become mission-oriented, minded, as we focus on Jesus Christ. And I will ask you humbly, please, to move very slowly. Let's assume this is where Jesus is, and let me be away, because it is only Jesus that you move, using now that triangle principle of isosceles triangle. As you move closer, the base becomes less and less as you move towards the apex of your triangle. Okay? So you are focusing, as you focus on Jesus Christ, you don't focus sideways. You don't even start blaming so and so. You just walk straight towards Jesus Christ. Move very slowly, like a snail's speed. Don't go fast. Very slowly, straightforward. You are focusing on Jesus Christ. And see the difference. If they had been fighting in the home, now they are coming closer to one another. If they had never thought of doing missions, now because they are approaching Jesus, they are getting oriented, you know, they are motivated to serve him, to love him, to love even those people who are suffering elsewhere. And you see the difference. As they focus on Jesus, eventually they come together at the cross. Thank you. The more we walk closer to Jesus Christ, the more joyous we become. The more holy we become. The more truth-rooted we become. The more we become closer to one another. And the more we love one another. May the Lord bless us.